Chapter number 9. I'd like to begin with verse 44 to the end.
Čitaće se ljubezni iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luci, iz 9. glave od 44. broja dalje. Sveto Evanđelje po Luci, 9. glava od 44. broja dalje.
Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying. And it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word. We all bow. We as men and women come to gather to allow his sayings to sink into our ears, to allow that weight to impress its pure image of truth upon our lives. There is one question that is repeated over and over in this passage. In different ways, we are confronted with the question, we're not asked to do something of great effort or accomplishment or something that the world would look up to and say, wow, look at him and look at her. The question is, will you receive Jesus as he is? The question comes in the context of our Lord preparing his disciples and beginning his journey to Jerusalem, where the cross is awaiting him. And he calls to us, who are on life's journey, walking in some way, will you come with me? Will you receive me while I am on the way to the cross? Do you understand what that means? The disciples didn't understand and they were afraid to ask. And they got very confused. So ask. Come to the Word with questions and ask the Lord, reveal what this means to my heart and to my soul, that Jesus Christ was headed to the cross. Why did he do that? For whom did he die? And allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring the conviction and the weight of the words of the truth of the message of the gospel to point to our hearts and our great need of a Savior. And ask the Lord to reveal Jesus Christ and his nature, his mission to us in a greater clarity, that we can embrace it and we can live after it. The disciples were preparing a place, or went to prepare a place in the city of the village of the Samaritans, and they did not receive him. He was headed to Jerusalem. He was not going to stay with them. And so, because Jesus was not going in the direction that they had anticipated, they turned him away. James and John saw this, and something started building in their heart, a resentment and a vengeance that didn't belong to them. And they asked Jesus, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And he said, this is why the Son of Man came, not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Let this saying sink down into your ears. Allow the meaning of these words and what significance they have had for you and for me. Give them time. Give them time to develop a sense of appreciation of what the Lord has done for us. Were we not also like these Samaritans, turning away the Lord many a time? And yet, even to those that rejected him, he was merciful. He showed the spirit that he had, the spirit that he desires for us to have within ourselves, of patience and forgiveness, in hope that they would have an opportunity to repent. And we see that Jesus even uses the Samaritans as an example to the lawyer, and perhaps even to the disciples, as one who they were to treat as their neighbor. We have loved ones who gather with us that have turned away from the Savior who has come for them many a time, and yet there are those that pray for you. Some even this morning that have mentioned you by name, that the Lord would speak to you, that the Lord would soften your heart, because we know that no one is counting on a man to convince you. But we know that the Word of God is powerful. We know that it has a message for you. The question is, will you receive it? Jesus said that he came to save men's lives. And this can be difficult to understand and perhaps hard to reconcile when we consider that Jesus also said that we are to lose our lives for his sake. How does that work? We consider that we have an idea of what our life should be like. We make our plans, we have our vision, we paint the picture. This is how life is going to be. And when we are consumed with the interests of our flesh, it's often to do with two things, either pursuing pleasures or avoiding pain. And this is what we construct for our life and our vision, our goals. And the Bible teaches us that if that is the sum of our life, it will come to nothing. And we'll take all those pleasures, it will all vanish in the dust. But God has a plan as well. God has a purpose. And we believe that the purposes of God are and his thoughts for our life, based on the Word, is greater than the picture and the plans and the vision that we put together for how our life should play out. And so we come to a crossroads. Will I continue to pursue the vision and the idea that I had for my life? Or will I be willing to put that away and embrace and receive the life that is in Jesus Christ, a life that is described here? Of service, a life of humility, a life of submission to God. Do you believe that that purpose that God has planned for your life, that is described so perfectly in Jesus and his life, is greater than what you have in mind? When we abandon our desires and our wishes and our hopes and dreams that we had that pertain to this flesh and embrace and receive Jesus Christ, his salvation, and the way that he desires to work in our lives and guide us and work and help us to live, we find ourselves in God's plan. We can put ourselves in our own plan and it will last 50, 60, 70 years. God's plan is an eternal plan. And there's an eternity that awaits those with the Lord in the blessing and the joy of God's presence for those that are willing to embrace him and serve him. And that is how he saves our lives. But the choice is up to us. Any choice outside of Jesus Christ is condemnation. Jesus even said that he who believes not is condemned already. You're on your own. You have no hope in the world without him. But in the Lord, we have the hope and the promise of eternal life. And he's come to save us. And he has even said, when he began teaching, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Is anyone brokenhearted? We come and we smile and we enjoy the fellowship that we have. But we do, at times, carry burdens. We're concerned about our children. We're concerned about our loved ones. There are times when disappointments arise. Where do we go to find a healing for a broken heart? Where did you go this week? Where did I go? Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted, and maybe that's you. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives. Is that one you? Is that one me? In captivity? Being bound by someone or something or myself? He has come to preach deliverance from sin, its power, and the punishment that it will receive when this life is over. And recovering of sight to the blind. The blind cannot see, and they do not understand what's in front of them. And there are times in our lives when we do not understand something. Go to Jesus and ask him to explain and to help you to understand and to give you sight. And he will give you enough. He will give you what you need. And if you love and embrace him, that will bring a satisfaction to your heart that he knows everything that you don't, and you can use him and his word as a guide where you don't see what is coming. There's deliverance, there's recovering of sight, and liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus has come to save men's lives. He speaks this in rebuke to John and James because they had the idea that they were going to take things, matters into their own hands, and they were going to finally get justice for this injustice that had been done to the Lord. And they reference Elias. And you wonder, what was going through the minds of James and John when they suggested this? And we can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 1. I like to read through that chapter to see what was it that they missed and what was it that they were thinking of as they were speaking to the Lord, because it's good to talk about the scripture. But what can we learn? What do we see? Now, having seen what Jesus has done and his mission, how does this line up? We read in 2 Kings chapter 1, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and sent unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of the disease. This is at a time in the northern kingdom of Israel where Ahab, King Ahab, wicked king. We remember him. He was king and Jezebel was queen when Elijah had that contest with the prophets of Baal. And they were going to prove once and for all who is the real God. And this was going to settle the score. And the real God was going to reveal himself in a way that was unmistakable. And no one would have any doubts after this, right? Well, it happened. The prophets of Baal, they cried and they screamed and they tried to call fire to come down from heaven to consume the sacrifice that they had prepared. And nothing happened. And Elijah prayed A simple, short prayer. And the Lord came through and sent fire down from heaven that consumed the sacrifice and all the water that they had put over it. Without a doubt, the Lord revealed himself. And shortly after, the king is going after and sending his servants, go to the prophets of the false god again. James and John didn't ask what Jesus meant when he said that he would be delivered into the hands of the Son of Man. But you and I know. We know where he was going, and we know why he was going there. Do we forget, though? Do we forget how much we needed him? And how desperate we are in need of salvation? And how without him we are so nothing? Do we forget that the Lord had put on display the greatest show of love and mercy that he could ever do when Jesus was on that cross for us? They forgot what God had done. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, "Why are ye now turned back?" So these messengers went out. They quickly found Elijah. He stopped them and gave them a message from the Lord and sent them back to the king. And the king is pretty surprised that they're coming back so soon. "Why did you come back so soon?" And they said to him, "There came a man to meet us and said unto us, Go, turn again to the king that sent you and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And so the king said to them, "What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words?" And they answered him, "He was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." And the king said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." It wasn't the messenger that he wanted. And so the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. He sent him his band of men with the leader, and he went up to him and said, Behold, he sat on top of a hill, that's Elijah, and he spake unto him, "Thou man of God," this is the commander saying to Elijah, "Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down." And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, "O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly." And Elijah answered and said unto them, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. The king sent men to apprehend Elijah. And they called him a man of God. And he said, if I am a man of God, let fire come down. And it consumed them. Today is a day of grace and a day of salvation. But that door of opportunity is open only while you have life and breath. After this, it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If we reject the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, And we do not receive him as he is, in his meekness, in our need. There is a fire waiting. If you do not accept that there was a sacrifice that was made for your sins, there is a fire waiting for you to pay for your sins. And this first group, they forgot all about that. And they were scorched. And it's amazing. We think, wouldn't they remember? Wouldn't they be aware? But it goes even worse. King sends another group of 50, and Elijah tells them the same thing again. Now, these people, they had not only the example of what was told before, but as they're coming to Elijah, did they see the scorch marks and the burn marks on the ground and see these are the consequences for sin? Do you see the vanity that the world is going after? And still reject? And even more urgently saying, come down quickly. We got to do this our way. I've got my plan, and I've got my ideas of what my life is going to be like, and I need Jesus to come and help me bless me to do that. That's not what the scripture teaches. He says, give me your burden. We give him our guilt and our sin and our shame, and he gives us his life, his peace, and his spirit. What kind of spirit is in me and operates and moves me? There's a third group that comes, and the captain with his 50 came, and he fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him. If you're wondering, what should I do? Maybe it is approach the Lord with this sort of heart. O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s and their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. He arose and went down with him to the king. To humble our hearts before God, clearly knowing the judgment that awaits us and the judgment that has come down on others before us that have rejected. Why not plead for mercy? Why not ask the Lord, Lord, may my life be precious in thy sight? What would Jesus say? He will say, I will go. Send me. I will speak for you. And I will go to that cross for you. When Judas came with his band of men, it did not take three times to convince Jesus. He was ready and willing. Am I, are you, ready and willing to receive the Spirit of Christ? May God bless his word.